Good morning. What a wonderful time of worship, just proclaiming the goodness of God, just proclaiming His, proclaiming the gospel, really. As we sang this morning, I just was so blessed with just the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We got good news. We have good news. Jesus came. He ransomed you and I this morning through the shedding of His blood. And I'm just so grateful this morning for that. I want to remember Him that way this morning through our communion, through the breaking of bread, the drinking of the cup. It's a precious thing with God, I believe, when His saints, out of, first of all, a lifestyle of communion with God. I don't believe this can be any communion more this morning than there was last week. I don't believe your communion is any more precious today, or shouldn't be, than it was this week as you commune with God in your workplace and in your quiet time and in your devotion time with your family or whatever it might be. Is there... He knows our hearts this morning, and we can't be here this morning. And, you know, I had to think, why did Jesus have to wait so long to come? I mean, there was probably times in history where I think He would have been accepted better. And yet, I don't know that that would have worked. I mean, there had to be a time where there was nobody going to accept Him. The religious were so religious, they couldn't take it, and the others were so far off that they weren't going to be converted, but yet they had to put Him to death, and He had to bear that sin and that shame. The breaking of His body had to be done for you and I this morning, 2,000 years later. So we're just so grateful this morning that Jesus Christ, He came for that purpose. And yet I want to focus a little this morning even on the love that Christ had for His Father. And I think this morning there's other aspects why Jesus came, but I like to think of, you know, the reason Jesus came was to satisfy the Father's heart. Like, His Father was broken because of sin, and His relationships that He had created man to be was broken, and there was no communion anymore. There was a broken relationship there. And I think Christ, out of the love to see His Father's heart fulfilled again in having relationship with mankind, I believe His passion for that drove Him to the cross. And out of that death, that burial, out of His crucifixion and brokenness, comes salvation for you and I this morning. But was it ultimately because He loved the Father? He couldn't stand to let His Father down. Like, His Father had created man for a purpose, and that was for communication and communion with us, and yet we took our own way. We chose to take our own way. And out of the heart to please His Father, Jesus said, I'll go and reconcile them again to you so that you can again have that fellowship, that communion with your people. What an awesome thought this morning. I come to do Thy will, O God. That's what Jesus said. And even His humanity came out there at Gethsemane. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. And yet, not my will, but Your will be done, in knowing that is what it took. And the forsaking of everybody, the forsaking of every disciple, there had to be. Christ went to the cross. He suffered and died alone. There was no other way than to Him to be totally alone. He bore my sin and shame. He shed every last drop of blood there was to give. He shed it all. He gave everything. Just a blessing this morning. I want to invite us to fellowship with God this morning. And I just, that last weekend as we were in our time of worship, this verse come to me, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to read that in Isaiah this morning, and even I want to start in verse 2 and just maybe get an understanding what was going on when Jesus wrote these words or when Isaiah wrote these words. It's not really a pretty picture. And yet it's just reality here this morning. We were that people. A hear, O heavens, Isaiah verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, from 2 to 20. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown as by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, or Jerusalem, is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Pay the evil of your doings before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. But just look at the cry on his heart. Look at the welcome here this morning. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I'm just so blessed. You know, we all know that's been us. We've been in those vain solemn meetings. We've been in this iniquity. We've done things that we shouldn't. We've been trying to come to God by our own merits. We've done all these things. And yet his invitation is this: come, let's talk about this. Like, I got a plan for this. Even though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. I'll take care of them. Even though they be red as crimson, which I don't know what the difference is between snow and wool. I think they're both white. But I'm just so blessed this morning. But he says, if you're willing and obedient. Like, many times I've been obedient, but not really willing. Like, well, if you say so, I'll do it, right? A little bit like Peter. If you say, I'll do it. But out of kind of like, all right, I know better. It's not going to work, or I just, all right, I'll do it. Whatever. But if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And Christ came to make us white as snow again. If we put our faith and our trust in Christ, we've been singing this morning about that wonderful redemption. How great thou art. Our communion, our fellowship will be everlasting. Like the one line of that song, forevermore. We're going to sing and worship our Savior. Does that excite you this morning? That's exciting to me. Whatever that might look like. There's probably elements we don't know about that, but just to think of being in the presence of God forevermore and just worshiping Him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13 to 21. It's again just 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 to 20. Verse 13 to 20. Here again, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And as I think of that this morning, you know, if we're, what is idolatry? And who do we, are we in idolatry? Have we, do we have idolatry in our hearts? Is there something in us that is taking the place of God that satisfies us over the, other than God? Is there something in us where when we have problems that we maybe just tend to go towards instead of talking to God about and asking Him? Is there things in our lives that we tend to go towards, or we do? Because I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. In other words, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I think we all know it is. But if we have idolatry in our hearts and we come to the communion table, he's making a point here. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with the devils. With devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? But just to see that there's only one that we can serve. You cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. Or you can't come to the table of the Christ and to the table of the devils. We can't do both. And it's only one. So this morning, as we think of what is our life, what do we do? Is there idolatry in our hearts? Is there sin in our hearts? Are we walking with God? I'm not talking about a struggle to overcome a sin, but I'm talking about a lack of care about what I'm doing, or just giving yourself to sin, giving yourself of your own self, of your flesh, giving yourself. Communion means fellowship or partnership. So if we come to commune, we're partnerships together. But you know, we can't come here this morning and partnership with God if our life doesn't line up with that. Like there's got to be, if you're a communion with the devils or with the enemy, then you're not on the Lord's table, is what it's saying. Partnership, communion. It says Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship or communion, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship or the communion of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. In other words, are we a partaker? Are we partnership? We are partnership of the Lord's sufferings. We partake of that as well as we partake of the resurrection, as well as we partake of His death. We're made conformable unto His death. But as those sufferings, as fellowship, a communion through His sufferings and His resurrection, we may know Him more and more. That's how we come to know Christ, is through the communion of His sufferings and also the power of His resurrection. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You know, is our commitment to God based on a love for Him? Would that passion to see God's heart satisfied in knowing that He gave His only Son, God so loved the world, God so loved me this morning, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I guess I was just challenged as I was thinking of this. What is my, how often is a decision made out of, well, I just love God and I want to do this? Or is it because of, well, this is how others do it, this is how I prefer to do it? Or, like, I was just challenged that. And it struck me, there's too many times my decisions aren't based out of just to see God's heart satisfied, to see that love in His, to just to see that He is receiving satisfaction through my life. And just to think that Christ, seeing the pain on the Father and what He was going through, knowing His love for us, knowing the Father's heart and His desire for communion with us again, inspired Christ to the cross. I had to think of what Joseph said when he's tempted, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? In other words, do we recognize who we're sinning against? Do we recognize what God is, who is that we are actually sinning against? Jesus came to reconcile that again, to that we could again be reconciled to God. I want to look at Psalms 51 yet, and just also give time for maybe, yeah, just prayer in our own personal life or whatever here before we go into communion. But I just feel like God just really would love to, personally, this was my testimony, but just to let me understand how much love He has for us, each one. And as David was, as David understood, even in the Old Testament, the mercy of God and the grace of God. And I just think this morning, as we look, as we allow God to search us, as we allowed God to search us this week, as we allowed God to prepare us, just even for this morning, and not just this morning. I mean, it isn't about just this morning. I mean, this is just a remembrance of what Christ did, but I think our life should be this. And I know if this is the only time that you feel close to God, then you probably aren't even born again. Like, I know there was many times I would leave our communion day, and that was, it just lasted as long as I was at church, and then as soon as I got home, it was different. But I mean, I wasn't even born again. I didn't understand the significance and the awesomeness of being saved from my sin. And I guess this morning, as we were just singing one song after the next of God's redemption and His blood and His cleansing to me, and even just His acceptance of me as a person, He accepts us. Like, He is, if we have Christ as our Savior, if we've accepted Jesus, He just loves you this morning. He accepts you. And so may that be a motivation for us even to live our lives. Do you just live by preference? Well, I just prefer this or I prefer that. I mean, that's such a shallow way to live our life. It's just a preference. Without the true fear of God, your preferences will take you down the wrong path. Like, do you know, as you make decisions, it should be a serious decision. I mean, I'm not saying everything. It's just when I see some people make decisions, and as we go through life, and we're like, okay, who are you serving? Is it you or is it God? What's your lifestyle based on? Who are you serving? Is there a fear of God in us? Psalms 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thy walls of Jerusalem. And I was just thinking this week, I heard a message on the rich man. And he's like, you know, some people, it doesn't matter what they see. You know, we tend to think, you know, miracles would save people. If we'd see more miracles, you know, people would come to Christ. But he said, you know, if you're religious, it doesn't matter what comes. He said, even in hell, the rich man was giving commands to God. No brokenness. Do this and do that. And I'm just like, a broken and a contrite heart, God loves. And so do we have that? Do we have a broken and a contrite heart? Or do we just have kind of our thoughts, what we want and how we want to live our lives? Where are we going? And who are we serving? Who are we communing with? I just want to give an opportunity to pray. We're going to kneel, or you can come to the altar if you need to. If there's things you want to talk to God about, the altar is open. We're going to take about 5 or 10 minutes and just, yeah, allow God to search us and allow God to purge us. Let him just pour his love in our hearts. I guess that would be my desires, just to see. And when I am convinced or convicted of a sin, and yet God loves me, does that not just like draw me to him? Like, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so let's just take some time. Let's kneel if you can. And again, the altar's open. We can pray. And then Jesse's going to moderate the communion time. And John Omer's going to moderate the feet washing. So, yeah, let's kneel and pray.